Amen. God is so good. Hallelujah. Yeah, before I start, I will let you know about prayer on Sunday morning at 10:30. Because if you would have been here, Brother Ryan pretty much taught my lesson, preached my message, and we could have got out of here way early. As a joke. I'm still going to preach to you. Amen. But I'm going to try to keep it short if I can. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, have your hand on us today, Lord God. Lord, I can't bring you anything, Lord Jesus, of myself, God. I need your power, your anointing, your love, God, to touch me, Lord, and flow through my life, God. Lord, let your word speak, God, as we dive into the things of God's word, Lord. Open it to us, God. Open our understanding. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. Let your presence to continue to be here, Lord God, and reveal yourself to us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated. I'm going to start with a couple of things, but I just wanted to speak to you for just a minute and how much I appreciate as an assistant, as somebody that runs around and does all of that extra kind of work, how much I'm so appreciative of different ones that have stepped up and are helping. And I can't express that enough because, you know, Pastor and I were talking a while ago and saying, you know, man, we really do too much. And he says, well, we've got to find people to do what we do. And I like how very genuine and down-to-earth Pastor is. He says, you got to find some people to do what you do. And that is a culture that we want to instill in the church. We want everybody that is doing something to find somebody. And it doesn't matter what age they are, but find somebody to grab and say, would you help me? Would you help me do this? And start to disciple the people that are doing to disciple people that are not doing. Amen. And that's so important. So I'm thankful that our guests are here today. Amen. Adam, it's good to see you, sir. Got to meet you this morning. Amen. It's good to see Clover and her family here today. I think it's Rakim, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it Rakim? Yeah, right on the back there. And we're not trying to... Is that right? Yes, okay. Kevin's back there hiding a little bit. But yeah, Kevin walked in and he said, is there anything we can do around here that I can do? And I said, come with me, man. There's a whole list of stuff in the office. And he's handy, and he can help out. So you guys that work in the building, Brother Tony, raise your hand. Brother John's right behind you, Kevin. Yeah. Talk to these guys. They will love on you, disciple you, and you can definitely help out. All right? Praise the Lord. I'm sorry I had you sit. Can you stand again? Oh, I almost forgot. Sister Karen, it is so good to see you. Praise the Lord. Last but not least, Sister Karen's here this morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's all right. Amen. We're glad to see you. Amen. We're going to go quickly to John chapter 14, verse 18. I want to read this verse. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then jumping to Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Genesis 49, verse 10. And I'm going to try to build a bridge here between Genesis 49, 10, all the way to John 14, verse 18 today, if we can. But it says this, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Amen. For a little bit, I want to talk about this topic or this subject. When will Shiloh come? When will Shiloh come? Will you pray with me again, Lord Jesus? We want to open our lives, open our understanding, Lord Jesus, and allow you to begin to work in our hearts. And Lord Jesus, we need your direction. We need your guidance, Lord God. We need you to come today and bless us, Lord, with an understanding, God. Open our understanding today, Lord Jesus, as we look into the Scriptures, God. Amen. And be with us here, Lord Jesus. Reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing again. You may be seated. So this word Shiloh in Genesis 49:10, it's actually the only place that this word appears in the whole Bible. It's easy to miss this word because it's only there one time. How many have seen this word Shiloh before? Shiloh. Well, there's a church down the street. Shiloh Church, right? Yeah. But it is this word is called an epithet, if I'm saying it right, which is a descriptive title expressing a quality or a characteristic of the Messiah. This word Shiloh is an important word. And this question, when will Shiloh come, is actually an important question, because there Jacob is speaking to his children and he says, until Shiloh come. So it's like, if you're reading that, you're like, well, when is that going to be? Because that seems like to be a pivotal part of something important. What is it? And when will Shiloh come? So another, just as an example, another epithet is the word Emmanuel. Messiah is the Emmanuel. A description expressing the quality or characteristic that Jesus is God with us. Does that make sense? So there's something about this word Shiloh that means tranquil or peace or secure. So tranquility comes with the Messiah. Peace comes through the Messiah. Rest comes through this Messiah. And the Messiah will bring security. And so there's a lot of trouble that goes on in the world. And so we need security. We need to have something and someone, more specifically, that we can always rely on. When I think of this word Shiloh, I think about, maybe it's just me being simple, but I think about God giving me a big comforting hug. Tranquility. All is at rest. There's nothing that can harm me. I'm secure. Messiah, when He comes, will bring that security. And it's something that we all need. You can easily rephrase this question as, instead of when will Shiloh come, make it personal. When will I find peace? When will I find security? When will I find rest? When will I find tranquility? And you know, something interesting as I was studying this word is that it shares some of the same consonants as the word Sabbath. Shiloh. Sabbath. It's the same first letter in the Hebrew alphabet there in both of those words. And so it's kind of a related term, because the Sabbath is about rest. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so when Jesus came, He brought the true Sabbath, which is not a day. It's much more than a day. It's the way of life, Brother Joel. It's rest. It's security. It's tranquility in the middle of a storm. I actually had AI make this picture. I tried to tell the AI. It took me like 30 minutes for it to get it right. AI doesn't understand this, apparently. But I try to say, put like a little boat on a very rough sea with a lot of rain, and put a bright spot in the distance, and where the ship is, there's a bunch of waves crashing, and out in the distance, almost like it's unreachable, make sure that the sea is calm. So it kind of got it a little bit. And it's kind of hard to work with those things sometimes, but I was putting together the slide and it said, have AI create you a slide. I said, okay, let's do that. But I'm reminded when I think about this question, when will Shiloh come? I'm reminded of that phrase or that little play on words that I heard. I think Pastor might have used it once, but it's no Jesus, no peace. That word, N-O. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. No Jesus, no peace. And then underneath it's no, K-N-O-W. If you know Jesus, know Him in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. If you know Jesus, then you know peace. You have peace when you have Jesus. You have rest when you have Jesus. Amen. And so this phrase is important because Jesus came and made a promise that He would not leave us comfortless, but that He would come to us. And we know this story about in John chapter 14, and we'll go there, John 14 verse 16. Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. As I studied this, I saw that word another is actually not meaning someone different. It actually means in a different capacity. And we know that that's true because Jesus didn't send us someone else because He's not a Trinity. Jesus sent Himself into our hearts. And Paul knew this in Romans chapter 8 because he said, if the Spirit of Christ be in you, then God shall also quicken your mortal bodies, even by His Spirit that is in you. And so he says here, verse 17, he says, even the Spirit of truth. Well, Jesus just got done saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's His Spirit. It's not another. I just like to make that point because we are one God apostolic people. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him. You know Him, for He dwelleth with you. Jesus is talking about Himself. And shall be in you. I remember being in a Bible study with Brother Zimmerman a while ago, and he was talking about, think about it. He says, just think about it. How could Jesus, who is talking to them, be in them? He can't jump into another person. No, of course not. But Jesus said, I can come in a different way, and I can be in you. So Jesus had to leave them so that He could come into them and into their hearts. And then He says this, and we open with this verse, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, I'm so thankful that, oh, when I was in the world, I didn't know Jesus. When I was in the world, I couldn't even see Jesus in all the mess I was in. But now I know Him. And now He is in my life and in my heart. And now I have peace. And I have rest because Shiloh has come into me. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God in you, if you have the Holy Ghost, would you just lift up your hands and thank Him? Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I worship you, God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, would you say, God, come into my life, Lord. Jesus, meet me where I am, God. Lord, I need peace. I need rest. I need tranquility. I need Shiloh to come. Jesus is our Savior. He is that comforting Spirit of God that brings tranquility and security. And I was trying to explain this to my son on the way to the 5K, and I said, James, what does comforter mean? What does comforter mean? He's like, thinking about it. He's trying. He says, Dad, I don't know. I don't know. So I said, well, it's not a blanket. I know it takes, Sunday morning, it takes a while for us to get. It's not a blanket. It's not something that you, you know, on a cold night, you know, pull up the comforter. However, the Spirit of the Lord does cover our life. So it's kind of a good example. But it's not food either. We call some foods comfort foods, right? And I was talking to James. I said, what do you think a comfort food is? He says, ice cream. Yeah, ice cream is a comfort. I love ice cream. In fact, next Sunday after church, we're going to meet at Gumdrops and Lollipops. What time? 6 o'clock. And we're going to have some ice cream together. Because there's nothing wrong with some comfort food, right? If there was something wrong with it, I wouldn't be 300 pounds. Mac and cheese. You know, I like fried chicken. I like ribs. Those are all comfort foods. Hey, that's good. If you hang around with me for very long, you're going to eat some comfort food. I promise. Amen. But this isn't the type of comfort we're talking about. Because I asked James yesterday, I said, what happens when the ice cream it melts or you eat it all? He says, well, I'm not comforted anymore. That's right. It's temporary. It's a temporary comfort. And yes, maybe for just a few moments when that ice cream first hits your lips, you forget about some things. Forget about your problems. But they didn't go away. And when the ice cream is done, the problems are still there. They never left. And, this comfort thing can kind of ramp up a little bit. Because part of the lie that Satan tells us is that sin will bring us pleasure. And he's not lying entirely. Because temporarily, you kind of forget about the problems. And then when you realize you sin, it's like a slap in the face. You wake up. Say, man, that just made it worse. That just made it way worse. In fact, drinking, drugs, vice, gambling, whatever it might be, at the end of the day, if you buy into the lie that those things will do something for you, or they'll make your problems go away, or they'll do something to change your life, you're going to have a big wake-up call. The end of all that vice and all those things that promised you comfort is death, destruction. The end, and I say this because I know, I absolutely know this to be true. When Satan offers you sin for comfort, it's a death trap. I know a man that, and I don't even know if I wanted to tell this story, but I know a man that lived in an incredibly stressful environment, and he had backslid. He knew God, and his wife didn't want to serve the Lord. His wife resisted everything, wouldn't let him take the kid to church. And I talked to him one time, and he said, I had asked her if she would come to church with me. She says, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. In fact, I liked you better when you were drunk. So within a few weeks, he was back to drinking again. Came home one night after a rough day of work, and he started in arguing with her. And they forgot about their little boy, and the little boy was in the bathtub. And they're yelling at each other, different things, and this is what he told me. And he had been drinking before he ever got home. He stopped and started drinking, and when he got home, he hid his alcohol and some stuff. And drinking while he's arguing with her. And they're fighting, they're going at it. They lost track of time and realized that the boy was in the bathtub. And the boy's only about 2-3 years old. And she finally said, "Take care of your son." And so he went in and he shouted at, "Get out of the bath. It's time for you to go to bed." And the boy shouted back and he shouted something that he had heard his mom say to his dad so many times. He shouted a curse word at his dad. And he said, "Go away, Dad." And normally that man was very caring and gentle. But because he had taken comfort in alcohol, he lost it. And he slapped the boy across the face and gave him a black eye. Very instant. Boom. Black and blue. And she called police, of course. And knowing that man, he didn't want to run from a fight. And so he stayed there. And they came and arrested him. And they put him in jail for a couple of weeks. And she got a restraining order and said, "You can't come back home." And so he was away from his wife and his child for over 6 months. And when he saw her again, she gave him papers. Divorced. I guarantee you the day he was going home, he didn't think all that was going to happen. He didn't think that he was going to lose his wife and his child. He didn't find comfort in the bottle. In fact, there is no comfort that can be found in anything in the world. You will not find comfort and peace and tranquility. Has anybody searched for it in the world? Let's be honest. Did you find it in the world? No. Emphatically no. But it made your life worse. Because comfort and peace and tranquility can only ever be found. Hear me today. It can only ever be found in Jesus Christ. You need the Spirit of God. You need Jesus in your life. And you need it now. So you need to ask this question. Lord, when will you come into my life? When will I find your peace? When will I find your rest? Hallelujah. We all have a need for the Comforter. We live in a world that desperately needs a Comforter to come. But they're looking for comfort in all the wrong ways and in all the wrong places. How can we prepare ourselves? Not so that we can go out and find comfort from the things in the world. You don't find comfort by looking for it. You find comfort when Shiloh, Jesus, the Comforter, comes to you. He will come into your heart and into your life if you will position yourself in a way that will invite Him in to your heart. No one can say that they do not need Jesus, the Comforter. No one can say that. When times get rough, when tragic things happen, you know, you might be able to keep your head above water for a little while. And you may be able to even encourage yourself, or you may be able to get encouragement from some friends. But it's temporary. But you'll come to the end of yourself. You'll come to the end of your rope. And your own comfort will run out. It can only take you so far. Then you'll break. Then your life will be a mess. And like Pastor mentioned last week, you'll hit the bottom. What's this pulpit? You'll hit the bottom. You will. You'll be crushed by the weight of normal circumstances. Things that you used to be able to control, you thought, will just crush you. And you'll fold. But this is why it's so awesome and powerful that Jesus promised us that He would come. Not maybe, not might, but He said it right here in Acts 2:38, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive it. If you'll repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and if you'll be baptized in that wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, and you'll rise to walk in the newness of life, and you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, amen, He will bring you peace, and He will bring you comfort. I know it from personal experience. I've been through storms. I've been through hard times in life. I've been through the worst of things, and I had Jesus in my heart. And nothing could take away the peace from my life. Nothing could pull me out of the hand of God. Nothing could trouble me. Nothing could turn me away from Him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He's real. He's so real. And I'm so thankful for all that He's done. Can we lift up a thanks and a praise to Him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to ask you a question today. If it was up to you, how should Shiloh Messiah come? How should you? What would you make as the sort of appeal to God? Lord, come into my life. Well, there's kind of a little bit of a backstory on this. And, you know, this is a really awesome comparison about how people will seek the Holy Ghost and how they will pray and how they will invite the Spirit of God to come into their lives. And so I want to go back into Scripture into Genesis 29. And I want to examine these proclamations that Leah, which was Jacob's first wife, made, and the meaning Leah actually gave names to her sons. She made proclamations when they were born. She was holding them, and she said, and we'll go over these phrases that she said something, and then she said Reuben, and she said something, and she said Simeon, then she said something else, and she said Levi. Of course, this wasn't, you know, the next day, is through the process of time. Then she said something, and then she said Judah, okay? So I want to look at this and try to track with me here. But names mean a lot in the Bible. They have great meaning. For example, Jacob, which is James in the New Testament, James is a Greek version of Jacob, means deceiver. But Israel means a prince that has power with God and man. Now, if I was the Lord, I would think, I want the Messiah to come, not through a deceiver, but through a prince who has power with God and man. Right? I want Messiah to come that way. Anybody with me? All right. The name, and just a couple more examples. The name Nabal, which I threw this in here. I don't even know if I really needed to do this. But the name Nabal, and his own wife called him a man of Belial, means fool or stupid, and Belial means worthlessness. So this was the man that provoked David to anger, and David strapped on his sword and went up, and he was going to kill him. And his wife came running out and said, I'm sorry, just would you just take these gifts? The name Nabal literally could be translated an idiot who was worthless. Side note, there are some people that will really try to get up under your skin. Don't let them take your peace away. God will take care of it. You could preach a whole message about that one, Pastor. The name Rachel, I try to get my kids' names in here. The name Rachel means lamb. Little lamb. The name Elizabeth means the God of my promise or the God of my vow. And the name Jesus, I would be remiss if I missed this one, means God has become my salvation. Anybody know how God robed himself in flesh and came and died on a cross for us? God has become our salvation. Powerful meanings behind names. And God doesn't make mistakes. And he pre-planned all of this way before the earth began to bring us his Messiah. Amen. To come to us. Amen. Now, in the story, if we could bring up Genesis 29:31. In this story, Jacob had kind of been done wrong by Laban, his father-in-law. And thank you for not doing this to me, Pastor. I love you. Thank you for not treating me. Pastor treats me so well. And I'm so thankful. He's my father-in-law, but he treats me good and very kind to me. But Laban wasn't so nice. And Jacob really loved Rachel. And she... it's kind of crazy, but he goes to get married, says, "Can I have your daughter's hand?" And Laban says, "Sure, yeah, work for me 7 years and you can have her hand in marriage." Then on the wedding night, they came and removed the veil, and it was Leah. And Leah, the Bible says, was not so pretty. She wasn't so much to look at. She wasn't attractive and kind of comely. And he says, "What?" I can imagine him marching the next day into Laban's office and saying, "What did you do? You swapped out. This is my wedding night. You ruined it." And he said, "You really want to marry Rachel?" He said, "7 more years. Work for me 7 more years and you can have her too." Well, that wasn't godly. It wasn't of God at all. Because two wives is way too much. And one wife is way too much for some of us. All right, I'm stepping on toes. I'm so thankful for my wife. Amen. Anybody thankful for my wife? She's awesome. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, I've been recording some music and number one question I get is, "When are you going to let Alyssa sing on these things?" We like you, but Alyssa's voice is much better. Yeah, I got a plan. Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord. But Leah really loved Jacob. She really cared for him. But she was hated, the Bible says. And when the Lord saw, this is Genesis 29:31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. You know, when most mothers hold their child, they speak softly and tenderly and they comfort the baby. I was there for every one of my children's births, and they give the baby to the mama, and the mom starts, "Hey, little one. Hello. Oh, so nice to finally meet you." I have a video of James, of Alyssa finally getting able to hold James after a few days because he was born early. And it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. It's on my YouTube channel. But it's really neat. She's, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" Speaking softly. Doesn't want to startle him. He kind of maybe like did a little cry. And then just so precious, so tender, she held that baby. And all you mothers know, you hold your baby for the first time. You want to speak softly and tenderly and comfort the baby and hold it close. And they're extra careful and extra soft because they're just in awe of the miracle that they're holding and what God has given them. But I want you to listen carefully to the words that are spoken over these children. We talked about this a little bit, Sister Erin, the other night. I want you to look at this carefully, what was said over these children. And then we'll see if it had any effect in their life. And we're talking about the question, how should Messiah come? Because we know the law of the firstborn, right? You know, that's kind of the right. The firstborn should be the lineage of that person. But let's see if we want to have the Messiah come through any one of these four boys that are born. Verse 32, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, she's holding this baby, she says, surely the Lord hath looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. The name Reuben means tumultuous one. Or see, it could literally mean see now, I have a son. God's looked at my affliction. God has looked at my struggle. I have a son and you don't, Rachel. And now my husband will love me. Did the Messiah come through Reuben? Thank you, my Bible scholars. No. Messiah didn't come through Reuben. Because should the Holy Ghost come because you shake your fist at God and others and say, look at my affliction. Look at my struggles. Look at what I'm going through. Look at my pain. God, give me your spirit because I'm going through a whole bunch of stuff and I need you right now. Will Jesus, the Comforter, Messiah, give you his spirit because you feel afflicted and you fight? No. You can't shake your fist at the heavens and say, when will my peace come? I'm going through affliction. If you're seeking the Holy Ghost, do not look at your affliction. Do not focus on all the things you're going through if you're seeking the Holy Ghost. So we say, should the Messiah come through Reuben? No. No, absolutely not. Let's look at verse 33. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord, listen to what she's saying to these children. These are the first words that these children are hearing. Very impactful. Very powerful. Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Now the name Simeon means hearing, or God has heard my prayer. Which, that's a good name. You think, well, yeah, God has answered, God has heard. Except for Leah specifically mentions and names Simeon in the context of, because I was hated. Is anybody with me today? If you're seeking the Holy Ghost, should the Holy Ghost come through Simeon? Should the Holy Ghost come because of hate, even towards you or towards anyone else? No. Absolutely no. Will Jesus, the Comforter, Messiah, give you his spirit because of a hatred or because you are hated? No. Absolutely not. If what you're thinking while you pray is about hatred and about how hated you are, and about all the people that you're pointing fingers at, say, God, I deserve the Holy Ghost because I'm hated. No. But yet, when people are seeking the Holy Ghost, what do they do sometimes? Give me the Holy Ghost, God. I need the Holy Ghost right now. Because look at all the people around me that are oppressing me and pushing me down. Jesus isn't coming through hatred. He ain't coming through affliction either. This is, I don't know, this is what the Lord showed me. Because we have some people here today that are seeking the Holy Ghost. And it matters. It matters what you say to the Lord. It matters how you position yourself when you come to this altar. This isn't just any old place. This is the sanctuary of the Most High God. This is a place where the people of God lift up praises to Him. And it's a place where people are born again of water and of spirit. It matters the way we approach the Lord. Verse 34. This is great. And she conceived again and bare a son. Listen to what she says. And said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Say, oh, what's wrong with that? Well, the name Levi means attached. It's not a bad name. But again, in the context of what she's saying, is these are proclamations that she's making over these boys' lives. And she says, now I deserve to be attached to my husband because look at all that I've given him. Look at all that I've done. In other words, she's saying, I deserve it through all the work that I've done and my contributions. Well, did the Messiah come through Levi? No. And it's so fitting because Levi was the priesthood. In other words, they were the ones that did stuff for God for many, many years. And they couldn't look, nobody could look at the things that they could done and say, you deserve a visitation from God because of all your works. Should the Holy Ghost come because you worked so hard and you deserved it, or that you earned it somehow because of your own effort? No. The answer is absolutely not. The Holy Ghost, my friend, is a gift. You can't earn it. By definition, a gift cannot be earned. You can't do anything, not a single thing, to deserve a gift. A gift is purchased beforehand, regardless of what you have done. And in this case, Jesus purchased, He paid the purchase price for our salvation by dying on the cross. He paid it all with His very life. Amen. He's the one that took the cross. He's the one that took the pain and the shame and the suffering and the agony. He's the one that paid it all. And nothing you can do will make it to where you can earn the Holy Ghost. That's good news for some of us. That's, matter of fact, that's good news for all of us. Because most of us have tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed to serve the Lord. And my friend, you're in the company of people who used to be sinners but are now called the holy ones of God, the saints of the Most High. Amen. You're in the group. You're rubbing shoulders with people that we were lost. We were desperate. We were by ourselves. We were broken. Amen. Paul says, such were some of you, but you have been bought with a price. Amen. You have been purchased by God. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Levi, sorry, you can't earn your way to having the Messiah come through you. Man, I don't know about you, but it's good to know that God, I can approach the throne of God and find grace and mercy in the time of need. Not because of anything that I have done, not because of anything that I earned or brought to the table, but it's because the Most High God robed Himself in flesh and gave it all for me. Hallelujah. He gave it all for me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So at the heart of this Levi name is pride. Pride in yourselves. Pride in your works. You know, if works and pride enters your prayer when you want the gift of the Holy Ghost to come, God's not going to give it to you by you shaking up your finger and saying, look, God, look what I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it. Let's recap. He's not going to give you the Holy Ghost because of your affliction. He's not going to give you the Holy Ghost because of your hatred or any hatred pointed towards you. And He's not going to give the Holy Ghost because of your works. Everybody with me? Let's look at the next verse. And let's look at this carefully, because this is so good. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. Now will I praise the Lord. She got it. She held Judah in her arms and she said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The name Judah means to celebrate with praise. It's pronounced Yehuda in Hebrew. And it is from the word Yada, which is an action meaning to physically throw your hands upward and outward to the Lord, like the motion of throwing something away from you, especially to revere or to worship aloud with extended hands. Somebody, Judah, the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God from whom all blessings flow. Praise be the Holy One of Israel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did Messiah come through Judah? Yes. Yes. Should the Holy Ghost come and sit down and dwell and take up residence in and through your praise? Absolutely, yes. In fact, Psalm 22:3 says it like this: but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Jesus sets down and dwells and makes a habitation in a place where He is praised, where He is the focus, where He is the center of it all, where He is the one who is adored and worshipped. Will Jesus, the Comforter, Messiah, give you His Spirit when you let go of your pride, let go of your anger, let go of your hatred, let go of your affliction, and praise Him? Yes. Yes. In the first three children, Leah looked at her sons in relation to her husband and her disposition and her situation and how despised she was. But when she got to the fourth child, she just looked up, Pastor, and she looked up at her Redeemer. She looked up at her Messiah. She looked up and said, Judah, praise the Lord. And we know that Jesus came because He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The proclamations of Leah are one thing. But let's look at the powerful and prophetic words that Israel spoke to his sons. Israel knew that he was close to death. And this is in Genesis 49:1. And so he wanted to impart some words to the 12 boys. He says, come on, boys, gather together. And he called to his sons, 49:1. Yep, Genesis 49:1. And we'll read this very quickly. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken to Israel your father. We're not going to go through all 12 of the boys. We're just going to briefly glance through this. But the first words that these sons heard were from the mother, and Leah, and the name she had given, and the effect, did it have any effect on their lives? Was there any impact? Because this Genesis 49 is towards the end of the father's life, which is much, much later. So years and years had passed. And so then let's see, did what Leah proclaimed have any impact? How important is it for you to position yourself correctly and properly in the presence of God in order for Shiloh to come? Look at this, Genesis 49:3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Wow, that's pretty good. That's awesome. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Something happened in his lifetime. And Jacob says, you're not going to excel. You're not going to come out of it. You're not going to become anything. And if you approach God with your affliction and you say, God, I deserve your spirit because of my affliction, my turmoil, and my strife, it's not going to come to anything. You won't receive the Holy Ghost if you look at your affliction. Simeon and Levi, it gets worse. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. There's not even anything good that he said about Simeon and Levi. And some of you might know why. You can go read the story and catch up what happened. But they did something very cruel and something very awful to another family. Hatred, works, pride. They just lead to cruelty. They just lead to anger. They lead to more anger, more frustration. So if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, please do not focus on anger. Because God will have to divide Himself from you. He can't come in and dwell in anger and in pride. But let's look at Judah. This is awesome. Verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, and thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a whelp, a lion's whelp, from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched down as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. This, there's too much to unpack in here. But this is one of the greatest prophecies in Scripture concerning the Messiah. And you can go through, I've spent many years trying to unpack all of this stuff. But Judah is called both young and old. Well, the Messiah was born of a virgin, but he's the Ancient of Days. Amen. Judah is said that his clothes would be clothed with the blood of grapes. And yes, Jesus shed his life's blood on the cross for you and me. But I want to focus in on this where it says the scepter or the ruling rod will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until the Messiah come. And for all of those years, Judah prevailed and always had somebody that was either so close to the throne, but the kingdom of Judah, even when they went to Babylon, the kingdom of Judah was restored from Babylon, while the rest of Israel was lost. Until Jesus came and ushered in the true peace and true tranquility and true government that is upon him and will never, ever end. Amen. There's a clue about how Jesus came the first time, and it's how he will come again. If we look at how Jesus came the very first time when he was clothed in flesh and came to us, let's go look at that. What happened that night? When Jesus came the first time, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about him, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then look at this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And you know how the angels went away, and the shepherds went and saw Mary, and the word of God was confirmed. And verse number 20 says, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Can you see a pattern? Praise is what ushers in the Messiah. Praise is what brings the Comforter. Praise is what causes the Lord to come into your heart. If you're seeking the Holy Ghost, and if you don't have it, I just let you know you need the Holy Ghost. You can't live without the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're seeking the Holy Ghost, don't do anything else but praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you could come to the music. If you will bring the sacrifice of praise to the Lord, He will come and abide. If you'll just bring the sacrifice of praise to the Lord. I know that it's been hard for some of us. I know that it's difficult. But that is what makes praise so much more beautiful. And that is why God cannot resist it. He can't resist the sacrifice of praise. He cannot stay away from the sacrifice of praise. He has to respond to the sacrifice of praise. Because there's power in the sacrifice of praise. Yeah, it's difficult. Yes, I was afflicted. Yes, I was hated. Yes, I had done a whole bunch of things and failed. But I'm sacrificing all that. In the middle of all that, I just want to lift up praise to you, Jesus. I just want to lift my head to you, Lord. And the last thing I want to bring to you here is this. This is the power of the sacrifice of praise. It's shown in Jeremiah chapter 33. And I won't read the whole thing, but Jeremiah is in prison. And he's prophesying while Jerusalem is actively being attacked. And through the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord is telling the king of Judah, Zedekiah, yes, things are bad. The enemy's at the gate. And yes, things are going to get much worse. But God will not leave us in captivity. He will restore it all. Now, if I was King Zedekiah, I'd say, I just heard another cannonball hit the fort. Like, what are you talking about, man? Like, there's an army outside. It's a good thing we have you in prison because I don't want you telling everybody this stuff. And that's exactly why Jeremiah was locked up. Because he was making promises that seemed impossible for them. He's talking about peace, and he's talking about safety, and he's talking about how God is so good, and he's going to bless us, and God's going to restore it all. And Everybody's looking at him like, this guy's absolutely crazy. Put him away. Lock him in the prison. But here in verse 7, Jeremiah 33, 7, Jeremiah begins to prophesy. And he says, I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And here they are. It's like when somebody's life is going bad. Fred and I talked about this. When somebody's life is going bad and it's getting worse, the last thing they want to hear is, well, why don't you just repent to God and have Him take away all your sins? It kind of makes them pretty angry. Like, yeah, it's because, can't you see? It's because you're doing it everything the wrong way. It's because you haven't turned to God. And they're like, stop talking to me about this stuff. I don't want to hear it. You're telling me that the reason why I'm in this mess is because it's my own fault. And here Jeremiah is telling them, don't worry, God's going to He's going to remove your sin. He's going to take away all your transgressions. And then he starts saying, and it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I will procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy. This is praise. This is praise right here. If you want to know how to praise God, let's look at this verse. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. The sacrifice of, it was the sacrifice of praise for Jeremiah to praise God in the middle of the prison and in the middle of an attack and in the middle of everything falling apart. It was a sacrifice of praise for him to begin to start speaking about things that were to come and about the promise of God. But the act of praise confirmed that to the Lord that Jeremiah believed every word that God said. You may be thinking, I can't think of a worse time to praise the Lord. I can't think of a worse time to thank Jesus when things are going from bad to worse. But my friend, I say this nicely, you're wrong. If things are bad and things are getting worse, that's when you want to praise God. Because Jesus is the answer. And when things are bad, He's the answer. When things are getting worse, He's God on the mountaintop. And He's God in the valley of the shadow of death. Would you rather face the hardship all by yourself? Or do you want to be filled with security and peace and tranquility that only the Holy Ghost can give? If somewhere deep down in your soul, these altars are open. If somewhere deep down in your soul, you hear a cry that says, yes, I need Jesus. Yes, I need Jesus. Then you need to praise Him. You need to honor Him. I know that they hurt you. Praise Him. I know that they failed you. Praise Him. I know that You don't feel like it. Praise Him. I know you feel sad. Praise Him. I know you're angry. Praise Him. I know you're frustrated. Praise Him. I know you're broken. Praise Him. Praise Him now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you could make your way to this altar, if you could come here to the front, and if you could throw up your hands, give it to God. Give it to God. Come on, praise is a choice you make. It's an action you take. Let the praises arise. Let the praises arise. Come on. Come gather at the front. Come on and lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Encourage one another to praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, God. I praise you, Lord, from whom all blessings flow. I praise you, God, on the mountaintop. I praise you in the valley. I praise you when I'm hurt, God. I lift up the sacrifice of praise in the house of the Lord.